Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. Okay, so here we are. We're continuing with volume 19, June 29th, 1926. And when I first saw that, one of the greatest dates is June 29th, but 1919. Where Jesus says, in every 2,000 year period, I have renewed the face of the earth. In the first period, I renewed it with the flood. Excuse me. In the second 2,000 years, I renewed it with my coming to the earth and manifesting what my holy humanity did, from which so many channels of light, my divinity shone. This is what we've gotten from the saints. And now in this third period of 2,000 years, those who are good and the saints themselves, who have lived the fruits of my holy humanity, this is what God has given to the Holy Church, but they have enjoyed my divinity scarcely at all. So this is 1919, June 29th, January 29th, 1919. When I saw that 29 and J, I said, this is great. God is going to bless us with this awakening. And that's what's happening worldwide. The kingdom is coming. These are the words from Jesus. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, something very, very clear. She said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, but it's the end of how we've been living for the last 6,000 years. Why? Sanctity, this outpouring of divine sanctity is going to come upon the earth. We hear about this all the time, especially, we hear about being reborn. And, a lot of people say, well, I'm reborn, in the Lord. Well, Jesus is going to show us what he is expecting of us. To be reborn is to be constantly reborn, not just once when you make when God, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you have this dramatic change in your life. That's just the beginning. So this is what Jesus says. Therefore, come into my arms that your Jesus may strengthen you. So right now, most people are far from Jesus. What's coming, as Our Lady said, is going to be good for some, bad for most. Most people are very, very far from Jesus. And to help them, Jesus has asked us to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites, to pray for them and to help them begin to understand what the Lord is doing. See, the Lord is in charge of our life. It's not us. He predestined us to live at this time. Some people say, why was I born? I didn't ask to be born. God had plans. God has plans. And he needs each and every one of us to begin to embrace this life of God, the image and likeness of God that he's going to bring upon the earth. And so he says to us today, when he speaks to us every day when we read, he talks to us. He says, I know what you're going through. I know what your family is going through. I know what your nation is going through. I know what the world is going through. I know what the Holy Church is going through. Jesus says, come into my arms that I may give you strength. There's no way that we can get through these times without Jesus Christ, without his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is why God has given us the book of heaven. As you read the book of heaven, as you study the book of heaven, as you put this into practice, I mean, daily reading, listening to Jesus speak to you. This is what he says. He knows what you're going through. Come into my arms that your Jesus may strengthen you. We haven't got the strength right now to get through what's coming. What's coming is, let's just put it this way. All the heresies of the church are going to hit the church at once. Every single heresy. Why? This is the final assault against the church from the evil one. So what the church has gone through for these past 2,000 years is almost every 100 years, there's another heresy, that the church stands up and says, no, this is the truth. And then another century, another heresy, the church says, no, this is the truth. And it takes time for people to understand what's being said. Why? Because of eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't know what's good. We don't know what's bad. This is why we sin. Oh, this is going to be good. And then we find out it's far from God. And so what God is doing is he's disciplining us. He's teaching us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And the whole, our whole life is to go to this point of being reborn at every instant. See, every time we turn to God, it's a new beginning for us every day. That's why we do our prevenient act in the morning. This is why we do our actual acts throughout the day. Jesus will say, when you're washing the dishes, why are you doing this? And you go, oh, I'm washing the dishes to give you, Lord, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise for every little bubble that's in the sink, for everybody that's ever washed a dish, for everybody that's ever dropped a dish on the floor, for every glass that was cup that was made, a fork, spoon, knife, to adore you and to love you and to praise you and to thank you. I want you, Jesus, to wash in my washing. I want you, Jesus, to give to the Father all the glory, all the praise, all the love that you, Jesus, wanted from the beginning. That's why Jesus is the new Adam. It's to repair and renew. He repaired and renewed on the cross. He rose from the dead. Why? To give us this resurrected life. And Our Lady was with him the entire time as the new Eve. So what's happening is it's a new beginning that's happening for us each and every day. And so the Lord questions us. For example, you mow the lawn. Jesus will say, why are you mowing the lawn? Is it your duty? Is it your responsibility? Is it what you want to do? And when Jesus says this, we remember, I'm doing this for your glory, for your honor. I want Jesus and me to do this. Jesus says that to Louisa. Would you allow me to live on earth again? To gaze in your gaze. I want to gaze at what the Father has done. I want to teach you how to praise God and all of creation for what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste. I want you to begin to live my abundant life and my mother's abundant life. This is what's happening. That's why they gave this to Louisa. And when we read the Book of Heaven, what happens is we begin each instant to be reborn. Each instant to begin to live this abundant life. It's more beautiful than yesterday. Tomorrow will be more beautiful than today. Why? That's God. We're entering into this image and likeness of God. 100 billion, trillion, quadrillion years from now, we're going to be more in love with God than today. I can guarantee you. Why? He's going to manifest to us his love. And we're going to possess this. My soul magnifies the Lord. Those are the words of Our Lady. We begin to live this life of the new Eve. So this is what Jesus says. He says, I know you can't do this right now, but come into my arms and I will strengthen you. And while saying this, he took me in his arms. He clasped me tightly to his breast and rocking me, he told me, sleep, sleep on my breast, my little newborn of my divine will. What God has planned, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. And in a way, this darkness that we're in before the kingdom comes, before the kingdom is manifested on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus is saying to us, I'm going to show you things that the angels don't even know. I'm going to give to you things that all the angelic choir that fell, what they surrendered, what they said, I don't want, I'm going to give to you, my children. Everything, he's got this, think about this infinite barrel of blessings, infinite, goes on forever. And what he did was he tilted it towards the angels, just tilted it. He said, I want to show you something. He says, the virgin without sin will give birth to the child. And when Lucifer saw that, he says, I'm not going to worship this child. I am angelic. I am the highest. I am the bearer of light. If you want a virgin that will give birth to the child, then you use me. And he rebelled against God. So God went, okay, I wanted to share this with you. So the battle took place between the little one, what's his name? Michael. Good old Archangel Michael. The little one fought the bearer of light. And we have to understand what the bearer of light was. God is a absolute uncreated. Lucifer was a absolute created. That's how great he was. He was the bearer of light. And when he fell, Jesus says, when he says, I'm going to take control of this. I'm going to be God, basically. When he fell, Jesus says, I saw him fall like lightning to the earth. Well, he lost the light. Everything went into darkness. I mean, the earth still had the sun. The earth still had the moon, the stars, but he fell into darkness and the sun was too bright for him. So when he came to earth, he had to live underground. He's the one that bore all those tunnels. Where did these tunnels come from that are all under the earth? Well, that's the fallen ones. They couldn't bear the light. They couldn't stand the light. So what's happening now today, Jesus is saying he comes as the light of the world. And then he says to us, I want you to be the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world when the bearer of light is underground now? How can we be the bearers of light? Well, it's very simple. What God is calling us to do is to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. So we have to begin to live this life. And the more that we have Jesus and the more that we have Mary, the more we have the new Adam and the new Eve, the more we can live this life of light, of love, of life. That's the Trinity. That's the divine will. This is what God is going to bring back to the earth. And he says it very clearly in January 29th, 1919. He says very, very clearly, and every 2,000 years, I renew the face of the earth. So we're now in the third. That's why John Paul II, what did he tell us? Get ready for the third millennium. That's the 7,000th year. Get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Then what does John Paul II tell us at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia? He says, we are going to begin a new and divine way of holiness. This is what the divine will is all about. And so what God has done in his wisdom is he dictated the Book of Heaven to Louisa. Our Lady helped dictate the Book of Heaven to Louisa. And as we enter into this gift, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, listening to Jesus and Mary every day, what happens is they're breathing into us. He says to Louisa, I want to bring you back to where Adam was before the fall. But when the Ruah of God, the breath of God breathed into Adam, Adam was infinite. I mean, dust. As much dust, and there was, he wasn't formed, so God could form him with this breath of God, this rule of God, body, mind, and soul, and share now in divinity. This is what he did. And so what God is saying to us is, you're already formed. I can't breathe this into you like I did with Adam. So he says, I will use each word that I speak to Louisa. As infinite, this infinite word. He says each word is a divine life. As we read the Book of Heaven, as we study the Book of Heaven, everything changes for us every single day. More and more of this Ruah of God, this breath of God, this life of God, this light of God, this love of God fills us as much as we want or as little as we want. I mean, you can read the Book of Heaven without putting your heart, mind, and soul in it. And it's like a novel. It doesn't really do anything to you. That's what happens with a lot of people when they begin to read the divine will. They read it and they go, I've read this before in the other saints. Well, you may have thought you have, but you haven't heard this word, Jesus Christ, this the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, you haven't heard this word breathed into us. And that's what happens when you read the Book of Heaven. When you finally make that commitment, okay, Lord, I will read 30 minutes a day. That's all that is asked. That's the minimal requirement to enter into this gift. That's why we're becoming a third order Benedictine of the divine will. That's what you promised Jesus. It's a promise you make to Jesus. I will read every day. Why? I want to hear you. I want you to tell me what to do. So what does he say? I got to strengthen you. You can't do this alone. This battle that's coming, this, as Michael said, who is like unto God, and defeated this absolute created. I mean, that's astonishing. This little one. And it's the same thing with David against Goliath. This little one, what does he say? He said to Goliath, you know, you have insulted my God. Now you must die. No one insults my God and lives. I mean, that's David speaking to a 9-foot Goliath. And what does he do? He goes to the wadi, he picks up 5 stones and he puts them in his belt. Why? Why 5 stones? Because later on in sacred scripture, you find out that Goliath had 4 other brothers who David defeated. I mean, you don't hear about that too often, but if you read sacred scripture, it's there. Why the 5 stones? Not only for the 5 wounds of Jesus, but to defeat the 5 brothers, the five giants. That's what God is going to do with us. When we surrender to God, we're nobodies, we're nothings. When we surrender to God, he can use us. Why? To bring about what he has planned. That's why he says, come into my arms. Take rest in me, so that I, God, may strengthen you. So this is again why the church says that you, each person should have a retreat each year, to retreat from the battle, if you want to say, to regroup. And again, this is why we try to have a day of recollection at least once a month on the second Saturday of the month. We have to get strength. We have no strength. We're weak. The only thing we can do good, we do well, is sin. We're constantly sinning. I mean, you go to confession. It was a great confession. I feel that right now that my soul is magnifying the Lord, and all of a sudden we're back into sin. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You know, the Lord says, okay, you've been, I give you the grace now to face the enemy. And then what do? When the enemy comes at us, what happens? We fail. Why? We are confused still by good and evil. And, you know, it's like, you know, we stand there and we say, this isn't, I mean, with people around us, you know, we lose our patience. We become annoyed. We become upset, worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. So what does God do? He says, you haven't learned yet. You come back to me and reflect. That's why every night before you go to bed, what I think the Lord is asking of us is that we reflect the day. What did we think? What did we say? What did we do? Who did we offend? How did we offend God? With our worry, our fear, our anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And what the Lord does is he says, I'll give you strength again. I'll help you get through the next day if you let me. And he says, but you have to rest in my arms. He says, let me hold you tightly to my breast. Let me rock you to sleep in my breast. He says, my little newborn of my divine will. So, do we want to have this newborn, this born again life that Louisa lived, newborn every day, every second, to like she said to Louisa, Louisa said to Jesus, why do I die with my pain, my suffering, and come alive every day. If you're going to kill me, she says, take me to heaven. And God says, I love to see you being reborn at each instant. So what is dying in our life? And again, this is what victimhood is. Victimhood is, in the divine will, to die to our ego and our will. What's that? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So the consequence of being a victim in the divine will, which Jesus is asking all of us, is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. No more worry, no fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. See, what Jesus is giving to us is the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus said to Louisa, I rose from the dead. Why? So that you can rise from the death of misery. Rise to the abundant life of joy, of happiness, of peace. That's why Jesus says, I want to give you my divine joy so that your joy may be complete. It's God that's doing this. But see, we have to begin to listen to him. I've heard so many people say, well, this is what I'm going to do. Without praying, without saying to Jesus, what do you want? It's always surrender to God. Lord, what do you want? What do you want today? It's no more, I'm going to do this. It's, Lord, what do you want? And that's what Jesus is saying. I will take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll rock you in my arms. I'll give you strength. I'll help you to get through this. Jesus says, I know the life I've given you. I know the time I've given you. And he says, if you trust in me, which we had Sunday, Jesus, I trust in you. If you trust in me, if you believe in me, if you hope in me, if you have confidence in me, then come to me. Oh, you are weary and finely burdensome, and I will refresh you. It's not just once in a while. It's not just once in a while going to confession. It has to become part of our Catholic life. It's the sacrament. It's the healing sacrament. So he says this. So Louisa says, in the arms of Jesus, I was so very little that I did not feel like sleeping. I wanted to enjoy Jesus and I wanted to tell him so many things. Now that I had the good of the prolonged presence, his prolonged presence with me. See, we haven't got to that point where Louisa is, to be in the prolonged presence with Jesus. This is why the church has asked, John Paul II asked this, that we have Eucharistic adoration in every parish, in every parish. So what does Jesus, what's happening? I just heard in my sister's parish, three churches are closing. I was there years ago, and there was 16 priests when I started, 16 priests in that town and that little city. And now there's four. In my parish, the pastor has seven parishes that he has to take care of, which means five are going to close. What's happening? Okay. Jesus said to Louisa, when the parish is closed, when the church is closed, it's not the bishop, it's not the priest that has done this. He said, it is I, the Lord, that has done this. I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. And he says, and I'm closing the churches. Think about it. There was a time in this parish alone with the other seven parishes surrounding, or six parishes surrounding, there was five masses on Sunday. The churches were packed. Five masses on Sunday in this one parish. There was two priests in this parish. What's happened is it's vanished. Now, does that mean the church is disappearing? Does that mean the church is not the church? No. Jesus says, I'm sifting again. Sifting the wheat and getting rid of the chaff. He says, what he is expecting of us is to begin to live this fullness of life. And as Pope Benedict said when he was just a newly ordained bishop, he says, the church is going to shrink down to nothing. All the great cathedrals that we had, all the land, all that is going to disappear. We will be a simple church, a little church, a poor church. Good. This is Jesus ironing the dress of his bride, cleaning the stains off the bride's dress. Why? The kingdom is coming. Say you want to go for a marathon run and you're overweight. You got to stop eating. You got to shrink down a little bit so that you can run. You can have the stamina to do this. That's what Jesus is doing with us. He's saying, get ready. Great things are in store. Magnificent things are in store. We've heard it from John Paul too. A new and divine way of holiness is going to come upon the earth. Do we believe that? Or are those just words that John Paul too was saying? No, something great is coming. Look at the apparitions of Our Lady worldwide. What is she saying? She says to us, get ready for the return of my son. What does she say to Saint Faustina? The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Are those just words? The priest puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Do we want that? Do we long for that? Sharing in divinity? Or are they just words? You see, it's the same thing with reading the Book of Heaven. Are these just words that Jesus is saying? Or is he trying to wake us up so that what is coming will be part of it? That's why Our Lady said, what's coming is going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. How can something be good and bad at the same time? It depends on where they are. Are they docile? Are they submissive? Are they surrendered to God? Or are they fighting God, ignoring God, ridiculing God? See, Jesus says to us, I want you to be alert, to be attentive of the time that you're living in. So what has he done? He's given us the Book of Heaven. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we are becoming more attentive. To whom? To the Lord God Almighty. When it's sunny out, God is saying to us, this is like the divine will. It's light. It's beautiful. It's pleasant. What do? Oh, it's too hot. It's too sunny. We gotta get back to adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God as God rightly deserves. And that starts with Eucharistic adoration. If we do not spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, how are we going to hear him when we read? If we're not falling in love with Jesus every day, praising him, loving him, thanking him, blessing him. You know, what's really fun is the Protestant channels, they're always praising God, always glorifying God, always worshiping God. And we have Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And the churches are empty. The secret, this beautiful secret, this beautiful treasure, God Almighty. We see God when we look in the monstrance. We see God. Where's our heart? Where's our mind? Where's our soul? Jesus says, come into my arms. I'll strengthen you. You'll be able to see me. You'll be able to hear me. You'll be able to taste me. You'll be able to touch me. You'll be able to begin to live this abundant life. God is going to do it. So he's saying very, very clearly, we want to enter into his prolonged presence. This is what Jesus is showing us, excuse me, today. He's asking us to long for him. He says this in scripture. I'm coming back for those who long for me. Do we find ourselves in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Do we find ourselves at Holy Mass? Again, the minimal requirement of Catholics is Sunday Mass. The minimal requirement of Catholics is confession at least once a year. Are we minimal Catholics? Or what scripture says, go for the greatest gift, the love of God. That's the Eucharist. The more that we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the happier we become. The more we fall in love looking at Jesus. I mean, it's not to read a book. It's not to fall asleep. I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. I mean, it's like, just think about going to your grandmother's, if your grandmother was still alive, and say, hi, how are you? And then you sit down and read a book and look at your watch, read a book. Well, my time's up, bye, and leave. That's loving. Our job is to fall in love with Jesus. This is why he says, come into my arms. I'm going to strengthen you. You're going to be able to endure me. No man can see God and live, scripture says. But Jesus says to Louisa, I have given you your human senses. Why? So you can see me and hear me and smell me and taste me and touch me. That's what God is doing. This, as Catholics, we have this. We hear Jesus at the proclamation of the gospel. He's speaking to us. We hear the saints in the epistles as they speak to us. And what I like to do is to be, when say, for example, you're listening to the epistle of Paul, one of the epistles of Paul. I love to just close my eyes and be there with Paul as he's speaking, listening to him, listening to the faith, the confidence, the trust in his Savior, his King, his Master. It's the same thing with the Gospels, to be with Jesus as he's speaking to you, to place yourself with him. There's no time or space in the divine will. Stand before the Lord at the gospel. Listen to him. Let his word, the word of God, speak to your heart, your mind, your soul, changing us. He's doing this here. He says, why? So that we can be in the prolonged presence of Almighty God. Do we long to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Or is that just something, you know? Is that just something that it's for those in the monasteries? No, it's for everybody. Everybody. God wants us to be one with him. So what does he do? He gives us his flesh to eat, his blood to drink. Why? So that we can be divinized. That's the whole reason. He says the whole reason, he tells Louisa, the whole reason for the Holy Eucharist, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, is to begin to live this abundant life. The priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. How does that happen? By being in the prolonged presence with God. How do we do this? Any Catholic church. And because now with the internet, we can see the Blessed Sacrament in our own homes. We can be with our Eucharistic Lord now in our own homes. What a blessing. What a blessing God has given us. And yet, few, if any, don't have any idea of the live adoration of our Eucharistic Lord that's in many, many churches throughout the world and broadcast on the internet if we wish. You know, some people hook their internet to their large televisions. Can you ever think of getting your family together? Let's spend some time with our Eucharistic Lord today. And let's adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and worship him as the angels and saints are doing right now in front of our God, our King, our Master, our Lord in heaven. See, this is what John Paul II wanted in the 80s, that every parish have Eucharistic adoration, not for an hour, but continuously adoring God. See, what's coming is our eyes are going to be opened. The veil is going to be lifted when this new era comes. And we are going to be filled with such peace, joy, and happiness. What is that? It's being in the presence of our Lord. As she says here, the prolonged presence of God, the joy, the happiness, the peace that's there. But Jesus continued to rock me, and I, without wanting to, fell into a sweet, sweet sleep But while sleeping, I could hear the beating of his sacred heart of speaking. So Jesus, his heart tells us of his love for us. He's asking us to begin to allow him to hold us in his arms, rocking us. Let's look at Joan of Arc. Joan of Arc said, I was born for this time. And this young teenage girl fought and won. You think that was her? It was God in her. We are in a bigger battle now than ever before. Like I said, all the heresies of the church are coming against the church right now. Every single one of them. And how do we get through this? Okay, we got through this in the centuries before by having a great saint help us, another great saint help us, another great saint help us to fight these heresies so that the truth is known, Jesus is known. What's happening today? It's God has given us the book of heaven. This is, and it's all the saints together, all those that fought for the truth, that defeated these heresies. All the saints together cannot fight what's coming. It's bigger than them altogether. So what does Jesus do? He gives us the book of heaven. What does Our Lady do? She speaks with her son. Why? So it's Jesus and Mary that's going to fight in us. The new Adam and the new Eve, what are they fighting for? Bringing us to sanctification, bringing us to this new era of peace, joy, and happiness, bringing us the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is the final battle. You have to understand this. It's not the end of the world. And it's not everybody saying, oh, it's going to be so. The strength of God is with us. We have to have the courage of David against Goliath. We have to have the courage of little Michael, an archangel, against an absolute created who is like unto God. You see what God is doing? We're nobodies. We're nothings. We're Jesus shows Louisa, this is what he says to Louisa. You have to say, I am nothing. You, God, are everything. Because of you, I have strength. And that's what he's saying here. It's tough out there. If you cannot rest in Jesus every day, when you go to sleep, say, Jesus, sleep in my sleeping. You know, put yourself, if you can't fall asleep, put yourself in the arms of Jesus. Let Jesus rock you. He continued to rock me. And without wanting to, fell into a sweet, sweet sleep. But while I was sleeping, I could hear the beating of his sacred heart and of his speaking. And it was saying, my divine will. And then another heartbeat, although answering, love do I want to infuse in my little daughter of my divine will. We have to enter into this beating of the heart of Jesus. We have to enter into this breathing of Jesus breathing in our breathing. He wants to beat in our heart beating. He wants to breathe in our breathing. And what does he say he's doing? My will, love do I want, divine love do I want to infuse in you, my little children, the holy divine will. The ones who are linked with my little daughter, Louisa. In each heartbeat, my will, a larger circle of light was formed. In the heartbeat of love, another circle, smaller in such a way that the larger one could enclose the small one. He wants us to understand this divine perspective. These are human terms talking about a divine reality. And so he's asking us, are you willing to let me, the Lord God Almighty, rock you? And have my heart beating in your heart beating with, well, as he says, my divine will, love, my divine will, love. It's to enter into that life, image and likeness of God that God breathed into Adam. Again, you're never alone again. God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's right with us, beating in our heart beating. How can we not fall in love with him? If we're reading the divine will, if we're listening to Jesus, he's telling us right now, every night, let me rock you to sleep. Every night, I want you to sleep in my arms. Every night, I want you to retreat and be with me, and I will give you the strength to get through the next day. Because you and I, Jesus says, with my mother, will begin to live this abundant life through this little newborn, Louisa. It's a new beginning. There's nothing to worry about. If you're worried, sleep with Jesus. Let him rock you in his arms as a good father would rock his little daughter, his little baby, his little newborn. See, this is what Jesus is looking for. He's saying, I'm going to bring you back to where Adam was before the fall. I'm going to bring you back to the new life of the new Adam and of the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. That's what they gave to Louisa, and that's what Jesus is offering to us. He's offering to us this abundant life. This is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. And he's given it to us. And this is the new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II talked about at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. He says very, very clearly. He says, this heartbeat of light, of love, of life encloses our heartbeat. Why? To bring us into that abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which was given to Louisa. This is not about being saintly, good, and holy. It's about sharing in divinity. This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. That's why going to Holy Mass, when the priest says this in a whisper, we're shouting it in our hearts, our minds, our soul. Yes, I want to share in this divinity. I want to possess this abundant life more than anything else. Why? Because you, Lord, want this. You have predestined me and all the people that are alive today to live at this time, to possess this abundant life of Jesus, of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what is this life going to do? It's going to force the evil one out of the earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what's coming, is the new heavens and the new earth that Our Lady keeps on saying. What is that about? It's about no more of this misery that we're in, this time that we're in, of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. It's a new beginning if you want, if you wish, as much as you want or as little as you want. It's up to us what God is saying. He says, that's up to you. What do you want? And while I was sleeping, Jesus would take these circles of love formed by his heartbeat, and he would seal them in my whole person. Do you see what he's doing? He says to Louisa, I can't breathe into you as I breathed into Adam to fill you with this gift. But every word, every heartbeat, every breath, I will expand your capacity to understand more, to live this abundant life forever. And that's why he's saying, while I was sleeping, and this is the great thing about sleeping in the arms of Jesus, Jesus would take these circles of love formed by his heartbeat, formed by his breath, and would seal them in my whole person. And I felt I was being all fortified and strengthened in the arms of Jesus. Oh, how happy I felt. See, Jesus knows what we're going through. If we're going through it alone, you're going to be miserable. Why? You can't do it. You can't do this alone. So what is Jesus doing in this time, in these times? He's saying to us with his mother, time has now come to an end. A new era is going to begin. A new and divine way of holiness is happening for the souls who want to live this abundant life. Hopefully that's you and I. Hopefully that's how we're living. That's why we're reading. That's why we're studying. That's why we're putting this into practice. A new beginning is here for those who want it. How? By being in the arms of Jesus and Mary. This is what God has taught us today. And he's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that all the little children of the holy divine will be divinely healed and truly become victims of this great gift of the divine will of peace, joy, and happiness. May Almighty God bless us, and this is His command. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.